the same to me. The movies and the factories and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and you're listening to your source for cool jazz and more to be EAA 88.9 FM. And that was Homeward Bound by Simon and Garfunkel, released on this day in 1966. And remind you from our last segment, there will be two vigils in the area today. One is at the beach at the Johns Hopkins Homewood campus at 3400 North Charles at 7 p.m., and the other in Washington in DuPont Circle at 6:30 p.m., remembering the lives of these three young Muslims who were murdered in North Carolina. So if you want to partake in that, you should. And we want to remember that, give you that information now. We are remaining here with our dear friend Heber Brown and joined by another old friend and colleague, the Reverend Kevin Slayton, who has passed for the New Waverly Methodist Church and a civil rights lobbyist in his past. Other things in his past, which we won't talk about. Good to have you on the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here, man.
I shouldn't say that about you. You can say that about me, too. 410-319-8888 is the number here to call. Write to us here at talkingsteinershow.org. Log on to our Facebook pages. Good to have you in the studio again, Kevin.
Good to be here, Mark.
I asked you both to come on with this part of the segment because you were doing something the other week at your church. You're always doing things at your church, Heber, that brings community out to wrestle with the issues, and you're doing the same right now at your church. And talk about what's happening at your church every Wednesday, but then I want to kind of explore this power of what activism means coming to the church, because people are always complaining that the church in Baltimore doesn't do anything.
The idea, right? is to move beyond rhetoric. You guys in the last segment really did a good job at showing how significant religion is and sort of how people engage social issues. And so each Wednesday we're doing the regular revival, which is a tradition within the African-American church. But in addition to just preaching the gospel, we actually have folks who will be in the church who are on the ground in Annapolis currently doing this General Assembly, educating the congregation on specific legislation and explaining how it is they can impact it. So for the past two Wednesdays, we've dealt with the Maryland Second Chance Act, which did some shielding of some misdemeanors on folks' felony on their records. But we actually emailed and texted the committee members in real time from the sanctuary during service, which was different. But it also gave folks a place to sort of start. Like, they hear about these bills that are impacting folks in their communities but don't necessarily know what to do. And so we're sort of educating them in the moment and then sort of, you know, feeding the spirit through the gospel. And what led me there was, I mean, I'm more transparent the older I get. I tried selling weed in college. I sucked at it because I didn't like it. But I was watching this channel on television, how people are living in Colorado and, you know, the whole weed industry and all the stuff that's around it. And it just blew me away that, you know, majority white folks were, you know, planning futures for their children and, you know, homes and buying cars and, you know, different products, how the business would grow to selling marijuana. Like, you know, all the kids from my neighborhood, you know, had the same vision, but unfortunately they're locked up. And so out of that birth, the whole idea, justice or still just us. And so I reached out to local pastors, and you could not possibly talk about social justice and sort of how to get in and get dirty without calling Heber. So that's how we got Heber. So Heber's there next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
The first Wednesday we discussed again the Maryland Second Chance Act. On last night we had Reverend Frank Lance from the West Baltimore who preached, and folks from JOTF talking about paid sick leave. Heber's night, I think the bill now is 121 and 124, which will deal with some decriminalization of certain things and possibly another piece of legislation around independent prosecutor. The presenters that night will be Faraji Muhammad, Davon Love, and again, just sort of bringing all of these folks to the table to sort of, you know, work in unison towards one goal.
And I think this is a critical piece. You know, the reason this, even though this is a truncated conversation today and we can do a much longer one in the coming weeks together, that I was thinking about the two of you and others, and because there's invariably always somebody calls on the show at 410-319-8888 who says the problem is the church. They don't
always do
anything. No. Pastors won't come out of the pew. They won't leave the church. They won't deal with what's happening in the community. They just sit inside and preach and collect their money.
That's because the history is so rich. I mean, you cannot watch the movie Selma and not recognize the role of the church. For whatever you want to make Dr. King out to be today, at the end of the day, he was a preacher. He did a good job at it. That's why people still, you talk about potholes, where's the church? Talk about it's too many days in the summer that are hot. What's the church got to say about it? There's an expectation based on its history that the church should have something to say.
Yeah, and I think to your point as well, Kevin, I think that, you know, where there's deep disappointment, there's deep love and respect. Mm-hmm. And so that has helped me to hear those type of comments and critiques in a way that doesn't drive me crazy, because you're right. People do tend to speak in very broad and generalizing ways and say, you know, the church ain't doing nothing. And I used to put my hand up and say, hey, here I am. See me. I don't do that anymore. My grandfather, bless his memory, Bishop Heber Brown I, and pastored in Newark, New Jersey for 60, 70 some years. He said, you know, may the work I've done speak for me. If people want to continue in that vein, they can. But I'm so proud of people like Pastor Kevin Slayton and the way and the things that he's doing. I'm enthusiastically following his leadership and the revival that he's put together. I got so excited about it because it harkens back to beautiful practices and traditions of our story, that these prayer meetings that are not as often talked about in the so-called modern civil rights movement were central and essential, that folks gathered together. And yes, information was shared, but also there was singing, there was shouting, there was preaching, there was teaching. All of that provided the sustainable fuel that I believe helped them then and will help us now. And also, this morning, Kim, I thought about the Goon Squad of Baltimore. You've talked a lot about the Goon Squad on your show, Mark, and many in Baltimore know about the Goon Squad. Some don't. But this was a coalition of clergy and lawyers and advocates and activists who worked together strategically to advance a number of initiatives that furthered social justice in the city. And many of them have transitioned in their ancestors now, and some of them still remain as elders.
There's two left.
Two left of right. The group. So what I see in this is just a hat tip to that tradition as well. And I'm excited about the burgeoning and growing and emerging group of pastors in this city who said, now it's our turn. We will not be the exact replication of the Goon Squad. Should we be. We'll be faithful to our context, but I'm really excited about these types of things as it honors that tradition.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I was thinking what you were just saying, because this also has, a long tradition of people who are jaundiced about it, because some people may say the church is about worrying so much about the next life, don't worry about the life you're in, A, and B. I can remember during the day of Vernon Dobson and the others when they were young preachers in the 60s, and we had the civil rights movement.
You remember when Reverend Dobson was young?
I remember when I was young with Reverend Dobson.
Okay.
See, he was 40 years younger than he was before he passed away, right? Almost 50 years. So yes, 50 years ago, he was a young man. And his church was open, only a few other churches were open to the civil rights movement. Most of the churches in Baltimore would not participate as civil rights activists.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, you know, and I'm talking about the black churches now,
yeah.
Would not participate. And so, I mean, there is a history there where people have this kind of sometimes jaundiced view of what the church will do and won't do.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been popular.
No.
I think this past week, Heber and I shared at the Proctor Conference in Norfolk, Virginia, sort of really drove that message home.
So we do have to take a – are we taking a break now? Is that what you're telling me? Yes? Okay. So I wasn't sure what that little note meant. But we're going to take a very brief break. We're going to come right back. And I want to kind of conclude this with the two of you when we come back from break before we talk about this heroin bill that's before the House. And we're going to be talking about that and talking about with the person who's introducing the bill, but also in interesting conversations with others, one of whom is the father of a young woman who lost her life to a heroin overdose, who wants to free the man who sold her the heroin. So we'll come back to talk about that in a minute. But we're going to take a very brief break and come back till we conclude with our guests. And we are hearing now on our way to break, Tangled Up in Blue, Bob Dylan, Blood on the Tracks, released on this day in 1975.
Heading up for the East Coast, Lord knows I paid some dues getting through. Tangled Up in Blue. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Welcome back here to the Mark Steiner Show. And who's that? There's only one voice like that. Al Green, Let's Stay Together, hit number one on this day in 1972.
Man, you're going to start some trouble in Baltimore playing that man over the airwaves this morning. It's cuffing season, as they say. You better be careful. It's snowing and everything. It's cold. People want to cuddle. That means they're going to do something.
Well, I can go home right now. That's right. So, I have no problem with that. Sieber and I are lucky we're married men.
I'll stay out of that.
But let me talk these two lovely minutes before we have to take a break and go to other guests. I just want to get a final word from you. We talked about during the break is when we come back. I'll be gone for a few days next week. We have some wonderful guest hosts coming in. But we come back is doing a whole hour about social activism in the church with these two men and maybe another. But let me let you just conclude your thoughts on why that is and where you both think you're taking your churches and other men like you and women like you.
Well, hopefully what we're able to do through this is, again, move beyond rhetoric, you know, just sort of moving folks to emotion within the worship experience, but having them to think how it is that their faith and how they participate in their faith can ultimately help them to sort of move their community to a better place. God is with us. We believe that everywhere we go. So then naturally I'm going to think, if that's the case, then why? Why is there discrimination? Why is there injustice here? Why? We may not have the answers to why, but we can at least point you to some of the who's. And during this time, I mean, we get a 90-day window for the Maryland General Assembly. I think it's a good time for us to focus our energies and our efforts towards changing policies that impact people of color in this city.
Absolutely. I love it. Every Wednesday night this month, we're going to be there. What's the address, Pastor Kevin?
644 East 33rd, across from Giant.
Amen. Be there at New Waverly. It's going to be an exciting time. I see activism and advocacy as an expression of worship. It is an alignment, trying to align this society with the beloved community, and I'm just really excited. There's a growing community of people in this city and pastors and church folk who see all that Kevin just described, not just in the prayer and the preaching and the rhetoric, but even the texting and the emailing. All of that, I believe, is an expression of worship, and I'm thankful for us the ways that pastor is leading us in thinking about worship differently.
I think so, too. And I may just say, as we go to this break, I want to thank both of you for coming at this quick segment. The Reverend Kevin Slayton, the Reverend Dr. Heber Brown will both be back with us very soon. And I do think the two of you follow in that great tradition of the men who have left us here in Baltimore. I really appreciate that you're here with us. Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back within minutes here to talk about the heroin epidemic, what the governor wants to do, what people in the state legislature want to do, and what people's experiences are with heroin, and how we should best address that thing that plagues so many of us in our society. As we hear more of Al Green, we'll be right back.
Let me be the one you come running to. I'll never be. Loving you.